Welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast with Scott McKenzie. Scott is a passionate industry professional dedicated to transferring cutting-edge, industry-focused innovations and trends while highlighting the men and women who keep the world moving. So put on your hard hat, grab your work boots, and let's go.
All right, it's another chapter of the Industrial Talk Podcast. I'm so glad that you are here. I am your industrial cheerleader. I am that advocate that really believes in the industrial profession, and I'm so glad that you're on this journey with me. I just have a passion for all of you out there, and I'm really glad that you decide to participate in the Industrial Talk Podcast. This week is somewhat unique just because I've got a gentleman here in the studio by the name of Reed. Hello.
Hello, everyone.
And he's going to be joining us, and he's taking care of the technology and sort of helping out with the podcast. So with that said, thank you again. Appreciate you being here. We're going to have a good time. We've got a jam-packed show, so hang tight. We're getting ready to start. All right, man. I'm so glad that you're here, Reed.
Me too. It's good to be here.
Yeah, this is sort of unique. I'm glad that I get to at least look at somebody else other than my ugly mug, most definitely.
Well, I don't like looking at you, so.
Yeah, well, whatever. Well, like I said, we've got a big jammed pack show today. Right off the bat, I've interviewed. This is a continuation of the 2017 IMC conference that was in Bonita Springs, and I've highlighted a gentleman by the name of Terry Saunders. He is an IBM guy. He's all things Watson. He is the IIoT dude. And had a great conversation, and he highlights some really fantastic stuff about the future and where we're going. So that was a lot of fun, and I'm really excited about sharing that. But before we do that, you know we always start a tailgate, and you know I'm always out there in the video. Got a channel out there on YouTube, and you know I'm all in about the social network. So I'm all out there, and I'd appreciate it if you give me a thumbs up and follow me out there. But let's get ready to go.
Tailgate talk number one.
All right, as I was saying, now, Reed, you know about this because we're all about education here.
Absolutely.
So this is the webinar. This is Ask the Mastermind in the Industrial Space, which is something that's near and dear to my heart because I just want answers sometimes. I get tired of the old, you know, here, do this, think about that. I just want to be able to sort of pepper an individual who knows what's going on. And so white out and what we have out there is a webinar that is designed for the Q&A individual out there that you can join out there. I have it at in my LinkedIn. I have it out there in Facebook, Twitter. I haven't done the Instagram. I got to do that.
No, you haven't.
But get that out there and join. It's a simple click. No spam. So just I just need to be able to send you the conference, and that's going to be coming up, I believe,
pretty soon, right? I mean,
yeah, let me see.
And it won't be boring.
No, it won't be boring. I can't stand boring. So
it's
coming up. But I'll tell you what, at the end of the show, I will definitely be able to provide you with that date, time, and all that good stuff. So that's with John Grubbs. He is the champion at this stuff, and it is really focused on the millennial workforce and the challenges that we have going forward. But it's optimistic, and it's going to be a great time.
Number two.
All right, the number two point here is this is a critical communication skills. This was with BIC magazine, and this is in the latest issue, and this is a March 2018 issue, and it has Brand and Safeway on the front of the cover. But I want you to turn to page 115, and that's where you'll see this BIC leadership series, Critical Communication Skills, and it's going to be April 4th, and that is just right around the corner, man, and that's that's South Shore Harbor. That's the resort in League City, but it's just right around the corner. So I highly recommend that you go on out there, and I believe if you go to BIC Magazine, you click on events, and then you find the leadership series, the BIC leadership series, critical communication skills. All the information is there, and it looks like it's going to be from 9 a.m. to 2:30. But the best part about this one is, do you like crawfish, Reed?
I love crawfish.
You get crawfish at this particular event. After you get done learning about the critical communications and all that fun stuff, you get to go and eat your heart out with a bunch of wonderful crawfish, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
I don't see anything wrong with that. Sounds great to me.
Hopefully, I know I'm going to eat my weight, most definitely.
If they do have a problem with it, they probably just shouldn't come, let's be real.
That's a good point. And I don't think they should, because it's a critical communication skills. It's a fantastic. It's also brought to you by Launchpad Writing. So they're out there too. Find more out about it. That's page 115. This month's BIC Media, BIC Magazine publication, or out there in BIC Magazine on the web.
Number three.
Okay, this is something that I just posed to you guys. It is 2018, and Reed, have you kept up with your 2018
resolutions?
Yeah.
For the most part, I actually made my resolutions in December because I didn't want to wait to get started on them.
Yeah, well, I'm just a...
I'm ahead of the game.
Apparently so. Well, I don't want 2018 to be a year of regret. And so
absolutely not.
I want to make sure that everybody out there, and we're going to try to do the best we can to provide the content that you need to be successful in your industrial career. And I don't want any regrets out there. I just want to make sure that you're all in, because we're going to do everything that we can through our webinars, through these Q&A sessions, and of course, definitely this particular podcast to give you as much. There's no excuses.
There's none.
None.
Don't make them.
Yeah. The information is out there. So this is a fantastic opportunity. No regrets. 2018.
Let's
keep
do
pushing.
It.
Okay. I like that. Okay. Now on to the interview with Terry Saunders. He's with IBM. And of course, he is out there definitely on LinkedIn. That's TerrySaunders. He is an open book. He knows what he's talking about. He's passionate about what he does. He finds himself in the utility profession and the reliability space. But what the interview included was definitely a sort of a deep dive into Watson, which was really pretty cool, because I didn't know it, but the future is incredible, and I love talking future stuff. So without further ado, I'd like to just present to you Terry Saunders. He's with IBM, and I just love this interview, so enjoy.
I'm really honored to be able to have in front of me a special guest that works for IBM. His name is Terry L. Saunders. Now, did I say that right there, Mr. Terry?
That's exactly right.
Now, Terry comes with a tremendous amount of skills and ability, and it's a big old long name with IBM here. It's worldwide utility leader. Electric, gas, water, and he's also, this is really pretty cool, this Watson IoT asset management, and if anybody that wants to know what IoT is, it's Internet of Things. Internet of Things, that's exactly right. So, Terry, welcome to the Industrial Talk podcast. I really appreciate your time. I know that you guys are busy. It's a big doggone time.
It's happy to be here. This is a chance for me to take a step back out of my normal routine and really kind of think more thoughts about how to help my customers and solve problems of reliability. So it's a great conference. I've been here 3 years in a row. I'll be back next year.
I got to tell you, man, it is a cool conference, man.
Yes.
I've been to a lot of conferences, and this one is ranks way up there, and it's got shiny lights and great food.
You betcha.
And wonderful people,
yeah.
And it's like a big old family, right?
I agree.
Well, so, Terry, you know, we talked briefly, and I want to make sure that the listeners of Industrial Talk get the whole flavor of who Terry is. Terry, what is your background? Where did you come from, and how did you find yourself with IBM?
Well, so I started my career with Hartford Steam and Boiler Reliability Technologies, essentially in the early days working at power plants, but actually across 12 different industries, petrochemical, chemical, manufacturing, really doing productivity improvement programs, work management. Was what it all was about. And of course, over time, that evolved to be automated. So then I was involved in helping design some of the early work and asset management systems that were first mainframe systems, then PC-based systems, and all the way to SAP, where I was eventually certified doing work with Pacific Gas and Electric. And I did reliability-centered training. I had my own consulting company for 12 years with 12 other guys. And that's how I got to know Maximo. So I did training for the sales force in Scottsdale, Arizona, when I was an independent consultant on reliability-centered maintenance. And that gave me a chance to get to know Chip Trepeau, who later became the president and CEO over Maximo when it was under PSDI, later became MRO Software. I just sent him an email one day, and I said, "Hey, Chip, you know, I know you don't integrate to SAP. How'd you like me to show you how?" And that started my cross-country move with my wife and three kids from San Francisco to Boston 21 years ago.
Ah, no kidding. That's a great story. Now, here's what I'm always challenged with, Terry,
yeah.
is you come to an event like this and you see the solutions. You've got the operations side. You've got the people who really dig deep into how to transform a business. And then you got the technology side of saying, yeah, if you do it this way, then the technology can be leveraged. And then we'll marry it together and we live happily ever after. And what I'm always challenged with is the rate of change
right.
that's taking place within this industry as a right. whole, the technology, the methodologies. I don't know how one keeps up with it. I mean, I'm a company. Let's say I'm a company, which I am a company, but I'm humble. So I'm a company, and I'm looking to say, hey, I want to be able to do something like this. Where do I start? What do I do?
I think it starts with the business first. I mean, you really need to take a look at the business and look at where are the challenges, where do you need to control cost, what are the business issues. So any of it has to be driven by the business. There's money on the table. The business is all about, you know, being successful, which means controlling cost and making revenue.
So that's a good point. So you would go into a business and say, okay, hey, let's look at these things, whatever these things are. You'd have right. a definition, and it's strictly just to say, hey, let's see the health of this business to a certain extent, right?
Right. right.
From a manufacturing, from resources, from whatever. So you say, hey, here it is. And then you get a good picture of that. And then you can develop what I hear you saying, Terry, correct me if I'm wrong, that you can develop a strategy that will say, you're here today, and then tomorrow you could be there if you do this stuff in the middle.
Right, right. Yeah, there's a series of things, but it doesn't have to be linear. It doesn't have to start from A and go to Z. It can sometimes start in the middle. I mean, Terry Hanlon made a good comment in one of his sessions today where he said, you know, start where the work culture, where the people want to start. If they want to start with condition monitoring, start there. I mean, so...
But here's the challenge I see is that true adoption of any reliability program has to start from above, right?
Yes.
We're in there, and I ran a company, and all I cared about was my quarterly financials, and
right.
I'm going to watch the cost. And from a strategic point of view, it was really challenging to think strategically beyond that quarterly viewpoint, right?
Right.
So it's great to say, yeah, I'm going to start wherever they're at, but do you have that support of the top people?
Well,
to say this is where we're going.
So that's where the education and the communication has to start. So one thing that I find so exciting about what's happened with PAS 55 to ISO 55000 is the making the connection that the assets are connected to the revenue stream. So if you are an asset-intensive company, like of course utilities are, your assets, when they're down, you're losing money. When they're up, you're making money. When you make that connection at the top leadership level, they get it. When they really start thinking from that term. So it's changing from a, you know, looking at it not being a, you know, being a profit center as opposed to a cost center.
And that is a really interesting distinction. You've got to get to that and draw that
right.
connection. Let me ask you this, because I can, because we're on a podcast, so
right.
I can. So it's ridiculous for
sure.
me to even ask. No.
There you go.
So how do you, IBM, you, make that connection with that C-level guy or person that says, hey, it's not a cost, it's a revenue source, and here are the reasons why. And how do you educate? Because it is education, and how do you get it out there?
So first off, it's a conversation. So one thing I do not do is take my computer out in most of those discussions. And I've sat with executives and mid-level managers.
Sacrilege.
for the whole, I mean, we've sat and talked for a long period of time, just talk. Go
pain
to the whiteboard.
What's going on? Yeah.
But just talk about the business.
Right.
And I'm fortunate to have had enough experience across a number of segments that I'm familiar to talk about the different segments and some of those pain points. And the one common denominator is people. I mean, what it really takes to run any one of these complex environments, plants, electric system. And the other common denominator is the physics and a lot of the equipment. Is common across the world. The greatest thing about working with utilities is because they don't tend to compete in the same region, so they're really open about sharing best practice.
I had an interview with another gentleman prior to this particular interview, and he was talking about the regulatory bodies in general are pushing these regulated industries to adopt more reliability philosophies and solutions.
Yes.
Or else. Because the regulators, they could do the or else comment.
Right. No, and that's very true. And, you know, so there's a lot at stake here, you know, environmentally, safety, but obviously cost and customer service of delivery. So there's a lot to be had there. So I think the pressures are positive in all directions.
Yeah.
I mean, even just the overall media, what people are hearing about the importance of reliability, what they hear about IoT, what they hear about in the cloud, it's all starting to come together. But realize, particularly utilities can be slow to adopt. But the tipping point has started. And what I mean by that is that many of your utilities, you know, that they're not at first open to cloud, putting it in a software as a service environment.
But you think that the cloud has been around for a little while, right? And
yes.
I think it's been proven in the sense that I would imagine they always get the, what about the security?
Oh, yeah.
What about that,
right.
that point?
Right,
yeah.
right. NERCSIP concerns is one concern. The other is OPEX versus CAPEX. So a regulated utility really gets, you know, their return on their investment, on the op.
That's right. It's all CapEx.
So the regulators themselves have to come to change. So what I am seeing utilities start to do.
Yeah, because that would be an OPEX cost because
right.
I'm setting up all, I,
right.
I, you know, there it is. I'm sending it up over there.
Right,
yeah.
right. And so regulators are starting to learn that it's actually more cost effective to go to that environment where the utility or the company, the major manufacturer, it doesn't have to manage the environment, doesn't have to have that investment, doesn't have to update servers, all of that cost. But that's just starting to happen now. So
no kidding.
Yeah.
God, that's spectacular.
But the way they're doing it, so a place to start is say, take your dev test environments and put those in the cloud. And
true,
that's what's starting
true.
To happen. So we have
true.
One major utility that's just putting 17 instances up of Maximo in dev test while on-premise they're doing their implementation of Maximo.
And it would be I can't say that it would be a simple migration, but once that you've proven, right? Once you've proven your sandbox,
right.
or your test, whatever you want, it works well within that cloud environment, then you can take your production environment and just migrate it up.
Right.
Theoretically.
Yeah. And some customers really get it. I met with Florida Light and Power last week. The director comes from GE, but actually in this case, NextEra, which is part of, you know, Florida Power and Light, they have more wind turbines up in the world than GE does. But GE runs everything in the cloud with Maximo. So
no way. So it's proven.
He's convinced. It's just a matter of getting everybody else on board. But so it will happen over time. It's just going to take some time.
Okay, I'm going to hold on to that.
Yep.
We're going to have to take a break.
All right. This
is Scott McKenzie with Industrial Talk Podcast. Glad that you're here. We're going to have to take a quick break. We are live from the IMC 2017 conference, sponsored by Reliability Web. Stay tuned. Hey, welcome back. We're live from the IMC 2017 conference with Reliability Web. And once again, I'm just having a grand time talking to Terry Saunders. He is the worldwide galactic utility leader with electric, gas, and water. And we're going to talk about Watson IoT with IBM. Amazing. So I like all the stuff that we're talking about. I'm on board, and I like it, and I like the way that I think that things will be more embraced from a reliability point of view. But let's talk about future. Let's put our future hat on. And I want to talk a little bit more about that Watson IoT. And how is that going to, I mean, how does that change the future? What is it? First off, why is that sort of cool stuff? And how does it impact the future?
So think about cognitive computing and what that has to offer.
Yeah, you're gonna have to dumb it down.
Yeah,
cognitive meaning thinking.
That's right.
Just rationalizing, like taking information in and
so bring it down to, so think about Siri, think about Alexa, you know, the Google apps. Think about when you call to a call center even, and you might be actually talking to a cognitive system. So I had a challenge with one of my bills, my credit card bill, where there was something that was inaccurately charged, and it was all handled by a cognitive system, but it sounded like a real person I was talking to. So that's what Watson does. It can use natural language recognition and identify anomalies or problems and solve those and help you give you options of what to do. So in that personal case...
I have to drop the neural net. Is it a neural net?
No.
Good.
No.
Go ahead. I didn't mean to drop it.
Yeah.
Yeah, continue with your thought process.
But I'm just bringing it to a level where anybody as a consumer might experience with this. All of us have had frustrations calling into some type of call center trying to solve a simple problem. Hit 5, hit 6, hit 7. Well, in this case, all I did was explain the fact that I had this issue with a charge on my bill. It paused for a moment. What the computer system was doing was checking my credit history, making sure that I do make my payments. I don't bring up these things. They just removed it from my bill right away. But it was all done by a cognitive machine.
So you just hi, hey, I've got this disputed. What I mean, maybe you're more linguistically smooth, but for somebody like me who would be like, well, I got this, thing on the my credit card, and I'm going to, and I stutter and stammer and try to, Are you saying that it has that level of?
Well, I'm saying so yes, they're all improving at a rapid rate. In fact, there's quite some concerns in parts of the world that support some of these call centers because they realize that some of these can be done more effectively with cognitive systems, all right? So the user experience is much better. Now, let's apply that to industry.
Yeah.
So think about the fact of the aging workforce and the fact that we have this issue across many industries of how are we going to assimilate the knowledge? How are we going to, have new workers? So now you start to imagine an environment.
Wow, that's a huge issue.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Yes. And so you start looking at if we're able to take, which we are, these cognitive systems like Watson, and you, what you're doing is you're looking for routine, reoccurring problems. We had problems with cracked insulators, let's just say, off of the transmission line. So yeah. We could use visual recognition. We could take the helicopter patrol visual data and quickly identify all the cracked and broken insulators from the flight patrol to know what needed to be replaced. The time it takes for a human to do that is a long period of time, and it's not very exact. So that's an example of some of the visual recognition capabilities of cognitive. There's also sound or acoustic. So what can happen, imagine someone going up to a motor, they're working, it might be a young guy, just started, and he can actually walk out with his smart helmet, his smart glasses, he can be connected to their Maximo or their EAM system, and he can be connected to Watson or a cognitive system where he could be directed on what the possible causes are. So if you've put your failure modes and effects in there and you've identified what the acoustic or what the sounds can be for certain failures that could occur or impending failures, just by that sound, Watson could start to give them advice on it looks like you're going to have a seizure of this, bearing, perhaps within 12 hours.
No way.
Yeah. No, but that's where it can head. That's where it can head.
And it will, because yes. it's not going to just be stagnant.
No.
This is it. We've reached its pinnacle capabilities.
Right. But remember, these systems learn. We teach them, and they're taught.
Yes.
And they're taught by people, us. All right? So imagine this aging workforce. They go into retirement,
yes.
But they don't want to stop working totally. And they've got some real expertise from their years of working in the utility or working in the manufacturing plant or whatever. This person could be sitting at home and maybe they decide that I'm going to golf in the afternoons, but in the morning I'm going to work online with Watson and the troops out in the field. So what happens now is this young guy that goes out to the substation to do an inspection and he has questions about the load tap changers. Not only can he talk to Watson, but he can talk to a real person. This real person can confirm that the Watson advice is either correct or he says, well, no, but have you considered this and have you considered that? And Watson can respond and learn from that exchange and make it a better result. At the same token, the person that's new to this job is going to have a higher level of confidence because he's talked with a real journeyman that did that job for 30 years, right, while at the same time getting the reassurance from the computer system because this kid is used to smartphones. That's the way he works. So it's a way to transition to a new workforce, make it a lot more exciting, more exact, and again, reliability into the whole thing, and taking advantage of the culture.
That's right at the heart. I had a roundtable.
Right.
And the roundtable was specific to, let's say, millennials, right?
Right.
And we're just saying,
right.
Okay, this is the reality of this particular group of individuals. Some good, some bad, whatever. But I believe personally that they look at the world differently. They're very, in a positive way, disruptive.
Right.
Because they don't just look at it the same old way.
Right.
And this whole Watson thing, that's an answer. Now, I'm not going to sit here and say, oh my gosh, I am the king of supporting. It's an answer to that age-old question. Hi, I'm retiring, and I've got this native knowledge right. in me, and I'm going golfing like your partner, who's
right.
sitting here, who has knowledge,
exactly.
and he is just going to just leave you alone, and he doesn't even want to talk.
I got his number,
but he doesn't care because he's retired, and you have no stroke or any type of leverage over him. So just FYI, just get used to working without him. Use Watson.
Yeah. So let me tell your listeners a tip to help understand this. So they should go to YouTube and they should actually search for Woodside Energy. So Woodside Energy is a natural gas platform off of Australia in a pretty challenging environment, but they adopted Watson, and it's just like a less than a 2 minute, I think, video, but it will help them understand what is possible. Because what they did is they took over 30 years of failure data on specific pieces of equipment. They had all the information on major, reinvestment of configuration change for the equipment. They would know what that was on the operator logs, what happened. So, in other words, the way they come, they talk about it like we taught Watson to think like an engineer, and Watson taught us to think like 1,000 engineers. So now someone can come up and ask a question about a specific piece of equipment. All that knowledge, all those people from all those years are part of that response.
How long has Watson just been around? Who's the first off, the genesis, the brainchild, and then here it is today, and it's got this tremendous bright future.
Yeah, Watson started on a game show, Jeopardy. So some people might recall that. And the reason that IBM was on Jeopardy was not to be on a game show, but was to help illustrate what was possible. So in that particular event, I think it was 2011, if I recall correctly, when they first started.
Vaguely
that.
Remember.
Yeah, and anyway, Watson actually competed against the two winners of Jeopardy of all time, and Watson won both. Okay, so that kind of proved to the world that these things can be done through cognitive computing, that they can. And all you did there to learn Watson was you gave Watson all the information about television programs, about music programs, entertainment, sports, the kinds of questions that they would ask. Could even be about history and those types of things. So Watson had all that data at its disposal when every question was asked, and of course, won hands down. Now, from there, what happened is that IBM invested more into healthcare. So one of the areas they invested in was cancer research. So now what happens is that a particular person's cancer is very specific to their situation, their health profile. So Watson is now, and there's all different types of cancer. So now there are health teams across the world that are connected through Watson that are actually able to come up with a treatment plan for an individual, and they can ask real-time questions. There's so many drug trials going on every day that they can't possibly keep up.
So correct me if I'm wrong. So here's Watson. Here's this entity, this thing. And you create an ability to be able to say, hi, I'm a doctor, and I'm dealing with and using the cancer. I'm a doctor, and I'm going to feed Watson the information that I've discovered or I've worked on for many, many years.
Right.
Right. And I'm going to have that relationship. So there's an interface between that human being, that doctor, that cancer doctor, into Watson, right?
Right.
And so the ability to be able to say, okay, I'm going to start putting in information. Is it that interface guided by let's say I'm the doctor and I just get on the computer and I just pull up Watson and I just start entering information, or is there just what does that look like?
Well, it does take time, right, to develop all of this. And this has not just started yesterday. So like I said, this goes back to 2011, and all the research behind it goes back many, many years before that. So it builds over time.
But how do you hey, Scott, we want you to start inputting information about whatever, and I'll do that, and not get corrupted information. How do you protect getting corrupted information within Watson?
Well, so it's first off, you're actually having other people validate it, okay. right? So there's the human interaction that takes place. So right. you've got experts around the world validating the content, and Watson can also validate that. So think about even in the case of cancer or healthcare, you've got people from around the world that are specialists. Think about how it happened when they first got all on the internet. You know, where they could start sharing information. So if you think about it from that platform to the internet to now cognitive computing, it's just a sharing, but in real time, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, that there's people involved in their specialty. Okay.
So does IBM say, okay, hey, we want you, can you be a participant in this? And how do you create that environment, that shared environment? It's not, you know.
So the innovation is driven by the business, right? So it's still a business. So in some industries, like a utility or like healthcare, they will want to share and aggregate. In other business, like auto manufacturing, Honda doesn't want General Motors to see their secret sauce, right?
Oh, absolutely.
So there are you know, some divisions, but there are things that are very, very common. So over time, we will go through different domains, right, of knowledge. And build on those domains, but they will be driven based on business.
That's fantastic.
So wherever the value is for business is going to drive it.
So that just sort of leads me into that's amazing stuff. I could go on forever on that one. Maybe my goal, my bucket list goal would be to say, I want to be entering data into or information into Watson.
Hey,
it's not a real noble, but it's like, whoa, man, you enter information into Watson.
So this gives me a chance to say something that excites me about this whole conference and understanding the culture of reliability, all right, and how important people are in leadership to the process. So my whole story about talking about Watson, IBM has a set of three values. I want to quote the middle value because that's what really Watson is all about. And so our first value in IBM, IBMers' values, are dedicated to every client's success. Number two is innovation that matters for our company and for the world. That's Watson. That's what that's about. So it really is, you know, look at something that's bigger than yourself. Yeah. And how can you make a difference in what's happening?
Yeah.
Right?
So Watson does it, baby. I mean, that's really doggone cool. And let's put it this way. There isn't this whole, how do you get youth into, for lack of a better term, the industrial space tends to be behind the times, not real, you know, prone to change. But this type of stuff is cool.
Yeah.
This stuff really matters and should attract that young individual that's looking to, you know, change that world,
right,
to impact the world in a positive way through technology. I think that's great. We're going to have to break right there. Just hold on, because like I said, I can go on forever. We're live from the IMC 2017 conference. Watson's cool. So we'll be right back.
You're listening to the Industrial Talk Podcast Network.
All right, you got to mark your calendar for April 23rd through the 27th. And this is a reliability conference that is in Las Vegas, Nevada, brought to you by those wonderful people at reliabilityweb.com. It will have all of the great vendors that are there that are really focused and passionate on reliability, as well as the great content and education. It never ends. Those folks at reliabilityweb.com do a great job. Now, I will be there, just like I was at the IMC 2017 conference in Bonita Springs. So if you missed that, and that was in December, you need to make this one, and it is April. Once again, April 23rd through the 27th. This is in Las Vegas, Nevada. Go out to reliabilityweb.com. Get all the information you can about it. I will be there. I hope to see you, and you have a wonderful day. Okay, thank you very much for sticking with us. This is, we're once again, live from the IMC 2017 conference. We're going to wrap this up. And Terry, I got two things. One, so I'm listening to what you're talking about, Watson. Why should I not be concerned about the machines taking over the world?
Yeah, I often say that with the cognitive, you know, if people are thinking, oh, it's going to be Skynet or it's going to be a beautiful world. Well, I'm the optimist. You know, I think it's going to be a beautiful world, right?
Good.
Yeah. And a lot of the great technology, if you really think about it, has been developed through the military and different, you know, so this is how some of this stuff happens over time. But I think it's pretty exciting stuff. I mean, I've got...
It's cool.
Yeah, I've got it all over my house. I talk to Alexa all the time. She doesn't always get it right, but hey.
So note to self, I don't want to go to your house and just sort of say something inappropriate, and then you say, hey, Alexa, hey, what did Scott say when he was in that room? Well, there, Terry, he said this, and he thinks that, no. Very good. Hey, yeah. How would people get a hold of you, Terry?
Well, so I'm on LinkedIn. That's probably the simplest way to find Terry Saunders. You'll recognize me as being working in utilities.
Now, are there a bunch of Terry Saunders? Because that's one of the problems that I have with LinkedIn
Well, I'm pretty high up there in LinkedIn. Terry L. Saunders.
Good.
And actually, I think the actual address is LinkedIn, / just Terry Lee Saunders.
Terry Lee.
I think so,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that... Find this gentleman because this is cool stuff. You will. Just stick with him. He's type in IBM, and I'm sure that it'll pop up too as well. He's out of Boston. And any other ways of getting hold of you, or is LinkedIn just the best way to do it?
It's a good way. It's all about the network.
Yes, it is about the network, isn't it? Seeing how the machines will take over the world. Hey, Terry, thank you very much for joining the Industrial Talk podcast. I know that you're busy, and thank you for listening to this. You got to get out. Get involved. Find out about Terry. This is fantastic stuff. So have a wonderful afternoon, and thank you very much for joining the Industrial Talk podcast. We will be right back. Hey, once again, this is Scott McKenzie with Industrial Talk. If you like what you're listening to, please feel free to sign up for the free podcast as well as the blogs. I'll try to keep it all relevant to your business and hopefully be able to provide some insight into what we do at Industrial Talk and what you do as a professional. Hope to see you soon. Thank you. All right, that's going to wrap it up. We're going to wrap it up right now for the Industrial Talk podcast. I really want to extend my sincere appreciation to Terry Saunders for taking time out of his busy schedule at that conference. And I also want to extend my appreciation to Reed.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much for being here. And
love the show.
Giving the show a little bit more depth.
Absolutely.
I want to make sure that we're on the same page here at March. This is March 27th. That's this month at 5:30 Central Standard Time. This is the opportunity to ask that mastermind. And in this particular case, it's John Grubbs. I want you to grill him. I want you to ask questions that are really difficult, and this is pertinent to the millennial workforce. So I'm really excited about his willingness to be able to get on that podcast. So once, not podcast, it is a webinar, which is a podcast, which is all one and the same. So I want to make sure that you guys, everyone, have a great week. Be safe out there. And remember, you can find Industrial Talk Podcast. I'm out there on LinkedIn. I'm out there on Twitter. I'm out there on Facebook. And I got to gear up, Reed. I got to gear up the Instagram following.
Absolutely. So, we're gonna do that. Don't worry.
All right. Thank you very much. Once again, thank you. Be safe out there. Truly appreciate you being a part of the Industrial Talk Podcast Network and participating in this journey to find as much information as we possibly can. Have a wonderful week.
You too, Scott.